How many of you have something in your life that you gotta have? You just can't live without it. You just gotta have it. I'll be up front with you. This morning, I want to let you know, I'm addicted. I'm not talking about alcohol, drugs, sex, and rock and roll. I'm talking about something else. I'm addicted to... Yep, Law and Order. I'm addicted to Law and Order. I don't know about you, but, you know, I've seen almost all of them. But I always think out of the, 300-plus episodes that have been going on in every way, shape, or form, that there'll be one I missed. And sometimes I like to watch it over and over and over again, you know, because I know the outcome then. But I'm addicted to that almost because it's almost like, if I get one, I want more. And on the 4th of July weekend, I think there's going to be a marathon, so I'll be good to go. What are you addicted to? What controls you? What are the things that sort of maybe aren't outside addictions, but rather habits, thoughts, ways of doing things that somewhat control you that you wish didn't control you? You know, in the gospel that we have today, actually it's the epistle that we have today, Paul writes to the Galatians. And he writes to the Galatians, and the first line of that writing says this, "For freedom, Christ has set you free." For freedom, Christ has set you free. What does that mean? You know, as I started to look at it, I realized that what he's trying to get at very clearly is that Christ set us free in his sacrifice, set us free to choose what we want to do one way or the other. That the understanding of Paul, that I think so often I think we as people in the 21st century somewhat forget, is that there's something short-circuited in all of us that doesn't always work right, that we don't always choose correctly. Anybody in here ever not make a wrong choice? Anybody in here ever have something go on in their life that where you say, you know, it just hit me and I reacted and God, I wish I hadn't reacted like that. Paul says it well in Romans chapter 7. He says this, For the good I desire to do, I do not do. But the evil I do not want is what I do. Paul's trying to get across a point that the truth of the matter is that just alone to ourselves, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the grace of God, that in some senses we are in bondage to a brokenness that's within us that makes us unable to really pick correctly, choose rightly, to move forward in the way that we want, that even when we are trying to do what we're trying to do, sometimes we stumble going forward. If that doesn't apply to you, then take the day off. But it sure does apply to me. It sure does apply to me. It applies to me in every way, shape, or form. Because even though I have a relationship with God that goes for now 40 plus years, the truth of the matter is that so often in times I put my foot in my mouth, I get in my own way, I make choices that aren't good, I say things I shouldn't say, and I, you know, sometimes I even make hand actions I shouldn't be doing. And God wants us to be free of that. Free to choose correctly. Free to become who we're called to be. Free to not be constrained by impulses of which Paul calls the flesh. The flesh, because the flesh is set against the spirit. And in the spirit, you have the ability, the potential of being totally set free. You know, it's funny that this scripture came up on 4th of July week, basically. Because here we live in a country where we are set free, but I wonder how many of us are really free all the way. I mean, think of the things that bind us up and tear us up. You know, if you look at the creation of God, what does he do? In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, he creates the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, correct? And then he goes through and he names the things he sort of created. He created the heavens and the earth. He separated the water from the sky, and it's the whole nine yards, splits around. And then he creates a day, and it was evening, and it was morning, the second day, so on and so forth. He creates time for us. He then goes on, and he creates all the living creatures that are here, and he gives us work to do after he creates us. And then he gives us the ability to have relationships, gifts from God. But how many of us unfold those gifts really well all the time? Let's take a benign one. Time. How many of us use the gift of time as something that's been given to us because we are human beings that are frail? We aren't created to run more than 24 hours a day. But how many of us sometimes, in our own dysfunction, try and go over 24 hours a day? How many of us go to bed at night and our minds just run and race when we should be sleeping? What's going on? There's something else going on. We're trying to solve the problems, usually, of the rest of our family. And we're trying to figure out things of where, well, you know, how can I rewrite what I said to that person the other day? You know what? We're frail individuals. God gave us a gift of time. But if we don't use time in the proper way, with the proper swing, what is it? Time becomes a tyrant. Time becomes a tyrant. And you don't master time, time masters you. Anybody who's ever been on that stretch where all of a sudden you're marking down the days and you're figuring it out, and I don't mean it a good way, like counting the days till Christmas because you're a kid. I'm talking about those days of, what do I got left in my life? Oh my God, am I going to get everything done? I don't know about you, but I'm getting closer and closer. The gift of relationships. Did you realize that relationships really are a gift to you? How are all those relationships doing for you? I mean, are they always working? You know, so many times in my experience as being a priest and as in working with people, it's so often that I have a person come up and they'll finally come up after 3, 4, 5, you know, relationships that didn't work. And they'll say to themselves, I don't know what's going on here. You know, there's maybe my picker's bad. You know, I don't seem to choose the right people. But they really don't want to look at themselves and say, well, maybe it's not them. I'm the common denominator here. How many times do we misuse what God has given us? Because, by God, we've just done it this way over and over and over again. And you know what? I was raised as a little kid. If somebody comes at me, I come right back at them. You know? I was raised as a little kid that when somebody comes at me, I withdraw. I was raised as a little kid. This is the way I learned it. How's that working for you, as Dr. Phil would say? But how many of us fall into those behaviors, those characteristics, those ways that we try and fulfill our needs that aren't healthy for us? That's the bondage that Paul's talking about here, where he says, don't fall back into the bondage of slavery again. You see, if you're given the ability to be free, then in the freedom of God, he also gives you the grace to live in that freedom and to learn what you need to learn that maybe you haven't learned yet. But it takes an intentional person, a person committed to learning, a person that's committed to living by the Spirit and not by the flesh, to move forward in those kind of things. To take life a little bit lighter. To not make it so heavy. But are you willing to do that, or are you more comfortable staying right where you are, doing it the same way as you've done it over and over and over and over again? Well, I'm here to tell you one truth that you've heard me tell before. And you've heard beyond me, because I'm definitely not the author. The only person you can change is yourself. So why is it that so often in times you try and change everybody else? You know, the other day I had the opportunity to go by and see a friend of mine. Her name's Sharon. And when I walked in to see Sharon, I had to drop something off at her office. I looked at her and I said, "How you doing? How's your family doing? The whole nine yards." She goes, "Well, my daughter's driving me a little crazy." I said, "Well, tell me about it." And she goes, "You know, I mean, she's studying, you know, she's got an MSW, a master's in social work now, and she's studying psychology and social work and all this stuff. Every time I call her, every time, she tells me, 'Well, what's going on, Mom?' And then afterwards, she begins to analyze me." I hate that. She goes, "What do I do? What do I do?" Down deep, I was thinking, "Well, every time I walk in here, you analyze me. Where do you think you got it from?" And then she said, the other day, she told me that her boyfriend came in and looked at her and said, right when he came in from work, "I had a bad day at work. Don't say a word and don't analyze me." I started to laugh. I said, "You know?" She goes, "What do you say to somebody like that?" I said, "The only thing I'd say is, what do you got to take care of everybody else's problems because you don't want to deal with your own?" But how many of us do that? How many of us get so wrapped in everybody else's lives that we do it not so much that we're not malicious about it, but it does keep us away from our own stuff that we have to do. I always used to laugh at that old saying, you know, when a woman's pregnant, I have always heard throughout decades and decades now that when a woman's pregnant, that if she wants to have the baby and she can't have the baby, that what you do is you tell her to wash floors. I don't know if you've ever heard that, but to get on the floor and start washing floors. And I said to one person, it was Ann Norwood years ago, I said, "Why do they say that all the time?" And Ann Norwood looked at me, she goes, "Well, you know, most people will tell you that washing floors gets you down in a position where maybe the baby will start coming forward." She goes, "I don't think that's really what it's about." Ann Norwood said this. She said, "I think people hate washing floors so much they go have the baby just to get it over with." And so many of us try and go through and avoid our own stuff, the stuff that's right there, the stuff that's right in front of us. We don't want to do it now. We want to kick it down the road. You know what? Christ has set you free. Free to make good choices. But do you consult him about those choices? Says real clearly, Paul does. He says, you know what? The sum of the law is summed up in to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself, that somewhat is the workshop that you work within that doesn't get you involved in losing yourself in other people, but serving other people so that somehow you can find yourself. But then he realizes that you're going to probably lose yourself in there and be so preoccupied with the other. He says this, but if you bite and devour others, watch out, because you'll be consumed by them. You'll be consumed by them. It'll be where all of a sudden you lose yourself on other people. How many parents have you ever met that have gotten so overwhelmed with their children, even when they're in their 20s and their 30s, that they've almost lost their own life? They're so filled up with that they don't deal with themselves. For freedom, Christ has set you free. How many times, as a caregiver to someone who is in need, do you get so wrapped up in trying to take care of that other person that you forget that, you know what, you better take care of yourself? That you go into a place where the person isn't really a person anymore. They're sort of just a project. And you're irritated at them and they're irritated at you. And yeah, by God, they're getting 3 meals a day, but there's not a whole lot of love going there. You see, for freedom, Christ has set you free. It's to make the choices that are healthy, to make the choices that are good, to see your way through it. Most of us don't realize that we live more by the flesh than we do by the Spirit, even though the Spirit is fully accessed to us. And the spirit of the flesh, Paul lays out very clearly. He says that, you know what? The spirit of the flesh, you can know it. by some of the things most of us don't listen to, because the first couple are like licentiousness, debaucherousness. It's all those things. Oh, yeah, we know that. But if you listen to the rest of the list, it says this. The bondage of the flesh is hatred, bitter disagreement. Bitter disagreement. Seen any of that lately? Anger, quarrels, factions, envy, selfishness. Those are the things that so often we write off as sort of, well, they're light sins, so it's okay. There's not too many calories in those. But we're called to live setting ourselves aside from that stuff and embracing the things of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Have you ever gotten into a situation where you felt that urge to sort of take care of it all? And then all of a sudden you stopped yourself instead of saying, I got to get it handled, and go into your control mode and said, I'm not going to get tied up in this. And you began to say, okay, how do I do this with love, joy, peace, patience, and kindness? Try it. Your whole opportunity will be different. Because when you operate from that true self of the Spirit, somehow the way you encounter other things that are difficult, you don't get hooked into it. You have a sense about you that is the power of the Spirit that runs through you, that allows you to do the things that you need to do, but not be, in a sense, thrown back into bondage over it. We're all susceptible to get hooked real easy, aren't we? I am. I'll be up front with you. You know, I said at the last service, I think that I live by the Spirit, you know, pretty well. But the last line of this scripture is, so if you live by the Spirit, you better be guided by the Spirit. I think I'm guided by the Spirit about 40% of the time, most of the time. I got another 60 to develop in my next couple of years before my time runs out. But I want that other 60. I don't want to live in a way where when I encounter people, all I see them is problems. I don't want it where I encounter people and I only see them as projects. I don't want it where the relationships I have and the gifts of God has been given to me that I sort of blow or misuse or whatever. I want to choose right. I want to choose right. I want to be strong and stand firm. But I want a softness about me. I want a compassion about me. I want to be able to know that anybody feels free to come up and talk to me about anything, and that even though my time might be where I'm thinking, is this going to be over soon? That somehow I can have the Spirit energize me to say, no, I've been here for a purpose. Let me take it as long as I think the Spirit guides me to it, and then let me lead them to another place where they're going to get the next thing that they need, where I learn how to do the next right thing. But I don't get so uptight with life that I lose life. You know, I am very serious that the more people I meet today, with all the blessings that they have, many of them just survive. They go through the motions. On the outside, maybe they're smiling, but on the inside, they're really sad. On the outside, they may be saying, we're getting things done, but inside, they're really resentful. The Spirit permeates your whole self. And if we live by the Spirit and we are guided by the Spirit, then you will not get survival. You have life, and life in all its fullness. Now, you may still like Law and Order, but you'll enjoy Law and Order. It won't be an addiction. As you come to the Eucharist this day, I pray that you come realizing without a shadow of a doubt, for freedom, Christ has set you free. You have the ability to make good, healthy choices. But you got to be guided by the Spirit to do it. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Please stand with me.